Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He leads away. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Cullen.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
And on today's show, we got Phoebe Litchfield. So Phoebe joined us from her college dorm in Sydney after she became the Breakers' youngest ever centurion over the weekend. So it's great to chat to Phoebe. She's full of life as usual. And I guess that leads us into the WNCL. What a start it's been to this season. I mean, we've seen some ups and downs from most teams, but there's one team that we haven't seen any downs from, and that's Queensland. They've been by far and away the strongest out of the blocks, undefeated, and some unbelievable performances across the board, LJ.
Yeah, and not only winning all four games so far, they've got the bonus point in all four games so far. So they go into the break at a maximum 20 out of 20 points. Couldn't ask for more. Laura Harris hitting record-breaking 50 ball tons. Georgia Redmayne's been informed. Georgia Fole hit her 145 in the first weekend. Like, they just couldn't have asked for a better start.
Yeah. So many performances across the board. Like, doesn't really look like they've got any weaknesses in there.
And they're essentially the Heat lineup. So look out for WBBL.
Yeah, exactly. Look out. They absolutely thrashed New South Wales, who looked in all sorts at North Sydney Oval. I mean, we saw Talia Wilson and Phoebe Litchfield, as we said, they got the Breakers back on track with hundreds against WA. But yeah, they looked pretty out of sorts against Queensland, particularly that top order. I mean, we haven't really seen anything of what we're used to seeing from the likes of Elisa Healy and Ashley Gardner at the top order. I mean, are we at the point where we're saying it's kind of alarming signs for those two?
Yeah, I think Midge in particular hasn't passed 50 since the World Cup final in New Zealand earlier this year, which, you know, is obviously unusual for Midge, given we all know what her record is like. Have to see how they go in the WBBL, I guess, but the Sixers definitely would want them firing, and good signs for the Thunder, on the other hand, with Litchfield and Wilson playing such a crucial hand in getting them back on track and beating WA twice, which is no easy feat when they've got a Beth Mooney and an Alana King in their lineup.
Yeah, definitely. And LJ, you were at Junction Oval today, got our first look at Tasmania, who got the win against the Vics, against the home side. It was a high-scoring affair, two centuries. Take us through it, LJ. How did you see it unfold?
Yeah, what a game. 560-odd runs today at the Junction Oval. Just quite the day. Annabelle Sutherland was just superb. You know, yep. She came in a really tough situation. Victoria were 2 for 12. Elise Perry had just been bowled, leaving a ball, which was unheard of from Pez. And they were 3 for 50 when Sophie Molyneux went out. And she just played a really mature, composed innings. It was just sheer class. 111 off 114, got the Vicks up to 279, which for a fairly inexperienced lineup against a team like Tasmania, the reigning champions, is massive. But then Nicola Carey just came out, hit an unbeaten century of her own and got Tasmania home with two overs to spare in the end.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, that's twice now for Annabelle Sutherland. She's scored two knocks, but they've both been in the losing side. So hopefully she can get one and that helps contribute to a win in the next couple of months.
Yeah, and they've got one more game between them on Thursday, and then it's full WBBL mode.
I know, absolutely crazy. So yeah, WBBL 08 gets underway in 9 days, which is hard to believe. So we've had a couple of last minute signings. We saw this morning that Chloe Tryon, she's going to be with the Thunder. So that's going to be interesting to see how she slots into their batting order.
Yeah, I have a feeling they might try using her a little higher up than the Hurricanes did when they had her on their list a couple of seasons ago. Certainly adds a lot in terms of strike rate. Potentially could bowl a bit too. So a useful addition, and just one more spot left to fill with the Thunder as overseas players anyway.
So they'll all start coming through in the next couple of days, I guess. I guess we'll start seeing all those final squads that are going to be taking to the field in WBBL 08. So reminder that that gets underway on Thursday night with a blockbuster clash between Sixers and the Heat. So that's up in Mackay, and you can watch that live and free on Channel 7, and you can also tune in on Fox and KO. And the one other thing we wanted to touch on is the T20 World Cup, which is coming up in February in South Africa. So that's a good carrot at the end of the WBBL season. So a lot of domestic players will be looking towards that tournament and wanting to put their hand up for selection for that World Cup. And we've got a schedule. So that came through this morning. LJ, what did you make of Australia's group?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a new look group to what they had at the last T20 World Cup in 2020, and also from the Commonwealth Games. They're in a group with New Zealand, South Africa, Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. So they've avoided being in the same group with India, who they've been in the same group with for the last three major T20 tournaments and got beaten a couple of times in the group stages there. So
no more traditional opener against India.
Yeah, we'll have to wait till potentially the finals to play India this time, which is a bit different. Aside from that, they kick it all off with a Trans-Tasman clash on February 11, and I'm not going to try and pronounce the name of the place where they're playing three of their games. The former city known as Port Elizabeth. We're going to work really hard on learning how to pronounce that name.
In the meantime, we'll let you get back to listening to a great chat with Phoebe Litchfield, who chats all about a wonderful 100 over the weekend. Phoebe Litchfield, your very first time joining us on The Scoop. Thank you for joining us from your college room. It's great to see you. Firstly, how are you? What's going on? We know you guys have been down in Sydney for the last couple of weekends, and we know you've also just moved down to Sydney for the first time. So talk us through it. How's life in Sydney going for you?
It's going well. Being a full-time cricketer is definitely a nice change from having to go to school. But down here at college and studying part-time and full-time, just depending on the semester. But, yeah, really loving it, and, couldn't be happier.
And what's it like with the uni college life? And
yeah, it's so much fun. It's probably the greatest thing that sort of happened apart from cricket. Yeah. I was always been looking forward to it because my siblings went to college too. But it's a lovely, awesome experience, and making friends and just living life at the moment, and it's a really good balance beside cricket.
So like, talk us through it. Like, what are you studying, and have you been managing to like is it tough to sort of soak up the college atmosphere at the same time as being a professional cricketer?
Yeah, it's tough at times. I definitely, in the first sem, it was a lot of partying and balancing that between being a full-time cricketer. It's like, Phoebs, where are your priorities at? But and my coach every morning, he checks my eyes and goes, oh, have you been to a party? I'm like, yes, I haven't been to a party.
That's so good.
And it's just this running joke that I'm like this alcoholic. But anyway, that's been fun. But no, it's been really fun. And I guess I've worked out how to balance, some nights, most nights there's parties and I'll just go, no, I got training tomorrow. But there's a lot of athletes here at college, and a lot of us in the same boat. But the fact that, meal times and just being with people, it's just keeping me really busy. And then uni on the side, I'm studying communications, majoring in media arts production. So it's going well, and it's a really practical subject, so I'm loving it.
And we sort of wanted to know about like the dynamics of the breakers on tour. So obviously like there's Midge and Sammy Joe and Burnsy, who are maybe like the veterans of the team. Then there's you lot, like got Talia, Annika, Stella, Maitland, who are kind of the young crew. So like, tell us about the vibe. Like, do you bring them down to your level, or do you go up to their level and be a bit more mature around them?
I don't know. I guess the Aussie players, they're Aussie players, so we're sort of like, yeah. But no, they're really fun. And then in the rain break, the rain delay against WA in our first game was hectic. Yeah. Like, when you take away phones for everyone, it's just like,
true.
What do we do? And then it's like back to like, yeah, we just just playing some weird games. And yeah, there's a lot of childish people in our team. You know, we have a lot of fun with that. In Claire Moore and Ebony Hoskin, who's our debutante, yeah. She's a cracker. She's the funniest girl ever. So there's a lot of fun. And I guess it sort of goes both ways. When we need to, you know, get our head in the game, we do, but we also have a lot of fun on the side.
Just a broader question. When you do have your phones, who's got the strongest TikTok game in the Breakers and in the whole of the WBBL, do you reckon?
Oh, that's hard. I reckon Mato's got a pretty good TikTok at the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Stella's got a good one too. Mm. And then I'm trying to think in Australian cricket. I've seen a few of Darcy Brown's. They're pretty funny.
Just rogue.
But it's just rogue. Just rogue. But yeah, no, it's pretty good. It's a pretty fun platform to get on.
How do you see your TikTok presence? Are you looking to grow your TikTok following? Is it something that you like making TikToks?
Oh, it's fun, I guess, but it's risky. It's risky behaviour because you're like, oh, I'd love to make this for just my friends, but then realise it's a public space. So you're like, you don't really want to put something random on there. And I'm seeing like some TikToks are like copied to Instagram off like these random profiles. You're like, I don't really want these going everywhere. So no, but it's fun. No.
All right. And so obviously we've got better get on with some cricket chat. So it was great to see you over the weekend raise the bat for your maiden WNCL 100. So talk us through it. Like, did you feel in good nick out there at North Sydney Oval?
Yeah, I had a chat with I've had dinner with my family the night before and I hadn't scored for 3 innings and I was just like, I'm scoring runs. Like, I'm just going there, I'm scoring runs. And I feel like if you go in that with that mindset, it's hard to, you just stay concentrated and it's hard to sort of make a mistake on purpose. If you get a good ball, you get a good ball. But if you really just apply yourself, and I tried to do that and I guess it came off and, I was hitting the middle of the bat early. So, it felt good and it was really nice to be out there with T and actually get some big scores and show that, like, we can actually do it. It sort of comes down to belief at times.
Did you change anything in your game? Like, apart from your mindset, like, did you make any other sort of adjustments on that day at North Sydney Oval?
Yeah, I found like I was getting into a habit of sort of falling over to spin and getting inside edge, and I've, you know, hit one to mid off and one to mid on, trying to go over the top. And I did a bit of a technical change over that sort of Saturday and tried to get me coming forward a bit more instead of sideways. So that helped, I guess, but it's also just down to mindset. And 50 overs is a long time and you've got time to catch up. You've got time to actually get yourself in. And I think just making the most of a set batter and really going big was the aim.
And it felt like a pretty low-key celebration from you when you reached the 100. What was going through your mind at that moment?
Oh, I have no idea. Everyone was like, what did you just do? I don't know. I got it. And then I was like, oh, what do I do? And then I was close to T, so I couldn't like do the walk thing. And then I just like presented it and it was like 3, 2, 1. It was really weird. So hopefully next time the celebration's a bit better. So yeah, I caught some stick from that. But anyway.
Oh well, hopefully there's more opportunities to you can perfect it. And fingers you mentioned crossed. Talia.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
good friend of yours. How good was it batting out there with her and seeing her also race about for a triple figures?
Yeah, T's been in some like crazy form. She's just looked so comfortable at the crease every time. And, you know, opening the batting's hard because you do get the best balls, and sometimes you can get a pearler and you're out. But to her, for her to really stick in, and it was a really well-timed innings too. Like, she did so well to just go through, and she didn't look phased at all. And that's the perfect thing about T. Like, she doesn't, she consumes pressure so well. And yeah, for her to get the triple figures too was awesome, and really proud of her. And it was awesome to do it with her at the,
yeah,
at the
nice time. How did you rate her celebrations?
Hers was better.
She got to do a walk.
Was, you know, a bit of appreciation. Yeah, and she appreciated the crowd. And that's what you do in our family. And she did a wave, and I was like, oh, why don't I do that? Anyway,
I don't think people generally get that wild in their celebrations in the WBBL or WNCL though, but is there anyone at the Breakers who would like leap in the air and carry on a bit?
No, I don't think so. I think we're quite an understated group. Mm. And I feel like if, you know, one of the, I reckon Sammy Jo Johnson, because she's such a fiery player, she usually gets, you know, 50 off 30 balls or a quick 30. But for her to go, I think it's similar to Laura Harris, you know, that kind of player that if you get it, it's like, it's the day, and, you know, I reckon she'd embrace it.
Yeah, I reckon she would too. Let's hope that happens. Obviously you mentioned, Fees, it was a tough couple of games for the Breakers heading into this weekend, like against Queensland, heading into the weekend against WA. What was sort of the chat amongst the group coming into those matches? Did you sort of really want to make amends? Like, what were the messages from Gav and Midge?
Yeah, it was really to make amends, and, you know, we've been training all pre-season and showing – like, we had pre-season games and we've been playing amazingly, and just to come out against Queensland and pretty much get flogged was quite, you know, it was disappointing. And I think we really wanted to make amends and show that we could actually do it. And also in the like WNCL scheme of things, we needed to win, because, you know, none from four is not a great start, even though it's a longer season. But because it's a longer season, you get to come back. But if we can just keep climbing up that ladder, that's what we needed.
Yeah, were you personally pretty keen to contribute to those, to a couple of wins after the first few losses?
Yeah, and batting at three, it's like a big role in the scheme of things. And I think, yeah, you need your number three, number four, well, your top four to score runs, and we hadn't. So I really tried to take ownership on that and do it for the team.
And what was the feeling in the change rooms like after you got those two wins? Like, was everyone pretty pumped?
Yeah, we were happy. Definitely, yes, also Sunday's game, we missed out on the bonus point by two runs, I think, and we had them 8 for 170, I think, and they got Peschel and Cleary batted well, but we didn't take our chances and sort of let them get there, and it was sort of just a bittersweet moment because we could have really been cutthroat and got the bonus point and, you know, but anyway, but it was good, and we were happy to get the wins.
I know it's a while away still, but the next two New South Wales home games are in Orange. Is that are you pumped for that?
Yeah, I'm so pumped. When I don't know who told me, but they were like, "Yeah, we're going to Orange," and I was like, "What? Orange? Like, what? Why would you bring WNCL cricket to Orange?" Like, when I think of WNCL, I think of North Sydney, you know, and then the big grounds, and then I'm picturing myself playing, you know, for the Breakers at Orange, and it's going to be awesome. Yeah. I'm not complaining, but yeah, it's going to be really cool to have all family there, and I'll have all the team out to my place and we can have lunch and it'll be really fun. I'm really
excited. Surely there'll be like a whole cheer squad, like the whole town will come out and just watch.
Yeah, I'm like complaining. I'm like inviting my whole school. Yeah. And you can just like all come here.
It'll be fun. It'll be awesome. And so we wanted to chat a bit more about sort of like how you've managed to balance like life coming through the ranks as a cricketer with your life outside of cricket. So you're obviously only 19. You've spent basically the last 5 or so years trying to sort of find that balance. How have you sort of managed to figure out like what works for you? Is it just kind of been a learning curve and you kind of just work out what individually suits you to perform your best in different aspects of your life?
Yeah, I think, through school it was difficult because, you know, in the back of my mind I was like, oh, I just want to be playing cricket. And, you know, seeing the girls train full time down in Sydney, and even the Sydney players that were at school, they could come in to train. So it was difficult to sort of see them doing that. But I don't think I'd do it any differently because being at home with my family and having dad as a coach, I think was amazing. Like, this year I've actually haven't had, you know, my one-on-one full-time coach, and he can throw me balls for hours. You know, it's sort of different in a squad setup. Yeah. But so I miss batting with dad. But I think the balance in terms of, you know, education and stuff really worked well. And I think, yeah, it's really important to sort of do that. And I probably wouldn't be here, like at college and doing uni, if I didn't do that. So in hindsight, it was a good decision.
Did you ever have to come up with any wild excuses for why you had to miss school or training or anything while you were trying to do both?
I don't think so. I was pretty just honest. I'm like, no, I have cricket. Yeah. And they sort of accepted that. And then in terms of training, I love training. So I didn't think I never really made an excuse to not train.
And what kind of student are you? Like, are you a dedicated student, like talkative? Like, do you ever get in trouble, like at school or now at uni?
I was sort of like, not a teacher's pet, but like a good student. Like, you're not going to sit there and, you know, get her off, like, especially because my mum's a teacher. Yeah. So I had some respect for what they do and, you know, like, you know, don't waste their time sort of thing. So I guess I was a good student, but I definitely took, you know, cheat ways to, you know, don't do this whole assignment, do this assignment. Yeah. Or, you know, at uni, you don't have to go to every lecture, or if it's online, it's like cameras off and I'm just sitting there going, you know. But yeah, it's good. It's fun.
How has it been, like, sort of meeting a whole bunch of new people at college and uni and stuff, and then, like, trying to sort of explain that you, like, live this double life as a professional athlete and a student?
Yeah, it was quite fun. Like, no one really, like, especially girls, they don't really know cricket that much. And they were like, oh, you play cricket? And I was like, yeah, I play cricket. And then next minute, like, they're following me on Instagram. And they go, oh, my God, like, you actually play cricket. Like, oh, it's actually a thing. And, yeah, I go, yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, and then the other day when I scored the century, they just thought it was the biggest thing ever. Like, they were like coming to me like, oh my God, you did so well. And they, like, no one even watched it. And they were like I've made the Australian team. Like, they were sharing it on their stories. And it was just the funniest thing. I was like, if I do this again, will you do it? Like, you know, it's probably a thing that will happen more than once, but hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood. But yeah, it's quite funny. But the boys appreciate it. But
imagine when the WBBL rolls around and they see you on the TV, they turn on Channel 7.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we know. But yeah, no, they're really nice and they're passionate and I think it's really cool. So it's nice to have them in my corner.
And did you get a bit of time to spend playing hockey in the off season?
Yeah, I did. Played for Moorebank Liverpool in first grade in Sydney, which was really fun, and played a few games and then got injured, so stopped. And then cricket weren't that keen on me keep playing, so I stopped and was a good girl and did some running instead. But yeah, it was fun.
What sort of, like, I'm assuming when you were, like, sort of growing up, you kind of loved playing both. What kind of made you lean more towards cricket?
Yeah, it was a tough decision, and for a while there I was definitely leaning towards hockey, but there came a time that I just really enjoyed cricket training more than hockey training. Hockey training became a bit anonymous and wasn't really enjoying it. So, like, I loved playing, but the training side of things, didn't really enjoy it at times. So that's probably why I chose cricket, just because I can spend hours in the nets and, you know, it's a hobby for mine, so I love it.
Nice one. And so a bit of WBBL chat just to finish off, which is coming up so soon. It's crazy. back with the Thunder. Are you stoked to get into an actual season that isn't hopefully affected by COVID or hubs or being on the road for ages?
Yes, I'm so excited. I think to have a home and away and we can travel and, you know, have that. Yeah, it's definitely going to be different, but it's going to be fun, I think. And especially there's a few of us younger players that haven't experienced that in my first year, but it's been, you know, hubs and bubbles, so it's going to be really fun. And also to have home games again, and we can, you know, crowd doesn't really matter, so it's going to be fun.
And are you going to soak up every bit of playing with Rachel Haynes for one last season?
Yes, I'm so excited. I haven't played with Rachel in so long, and I've been watching her, and she's just amazing, and I'm really, really excited to play with her, sorry. Yeah, and I think our whole team's really excited because she's just the best. So,
how did you feel when you heard the news that she was hanging up the boots?
Yeah, it was sad. It was surprising, to be honest, just because she's been in such good form, especially as of late. But I totally understand it, and I think for her to keep playing the Big Bash is awesome, and she didn't need to do that. So for her to do that is really, hats off to her. And I think it's probably, she wants one more season in the lime green black because she missed last season. So that'll be really fun and probably a nice way to end her career.
And what's it been like working with her over the years? Has she helped you a lot, or do you have any memories that stand out?
She's always been just a great leader, and she's known how to balance between, you know, friendship and, you know, professional cricket. yeah, like we haven't been the closest, and it's not like a 16-year-old's going to be close to a 30-year-old, but she's just been a really good mentor. Yes, you know, especially as a lefty, she's been working through my game and giving me tips, and I think it's definitely paid dividends to my cricket and everyone around her. Like Hannah Darlington learned so much off her, as in captaincy wise, and we all look up to her. So it's a great person to have around your team. And every time she comes to training, because she's not there all the time, everyone lifts, and it's sort of this. Yeah, she has this aura, which is really cool.
Nice. I guess on the flip side, there's like a heap of young guns in the Thunder team that you probably know really well. Who do you reckon is looking primed for a really big WBBL 08?
I reckon Annika Learoyd. She's been smashing it in the nets and always has had it in her, but just hasn't put it on the park. But I think if she really plays confidently, she's got the skills to score some runs. And then, so hopefully Liv Porter also gets to go. She's been going well for ACT Meteors. But
is there a team like the Thunder love to play and potentially beat? Like, is there a team, like a real rivalry that you guys usually have your eye on?
We love playing the Sixers. Well, it's hard because we've usually lost to the Sixers, so we don't like playing the Sixers. But we won last year against them, and it was probably the best day ever. We were just like, yes! And, like, we can finally... So our team song says, we're Sydney's best, and we've never, like, we never win against them. So it's like, are we? And then we could actually finally sing it, and they were, you know, next door, and we're like, Sydney's best. So it was good.
It's so funny, like, whenever you ask someone, like, which WBBL team do you love to beat, why does everyone say the Sixers?
I think it's because, like, they're obviously... Pitcher is the best, you know, they got the big guns, and so when you beat them, it's a big thing, I think.
Ebes, thank you so much for joining us today on The Scoop. It was a pleasure to chat to you. Good luck for the WBBL in the lime green. Can't wait to watch and hope it all goes well for you. Plenty more bat celebrations from you.
Hopefully. Thanks, Laura. Thanks, Anne.
He leaves a wing. Australia are a wing. Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.